Take your Bibles and look at 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 1. I want to thank Jerry for the privilege of being able to teach on this topic tonight and be up here in front of all of you. It's a really nice view from here. What I'd like to share tonight for a little while is speaking the word and the operation of the manifestations, the combination of both of them. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We've heard a lot of great teachings on some of the topics here in 1 Thessalonians. So tonight we're going to look at speaking the word and the operation of the manifestations. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and in verse 5 it says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in what?
Power."
So in this verse, we have word and we have what?
Power.
Okay. All right. So say word.
Word.
And power.
Power.
Word and power. So we have speaking the word and we have the operation of the manifestations. We have word and works. We have preaching and power. And we're going to look at the combination of both of them. You know, the news of the day is full of political problems and full of politically correct and politically incorrect solutions. From Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 12, we see that it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In Power for Abundant Living, we learn man's basic spiritual problem is the integrity of the word, or not believing the integrity of the word. Life is spiritual, and spiritual issues require spiritual solutions. The receiving of these spiritual truths require believing, as Bob so wonderfully shared. We must believe God's word and who we are in Christ. And I trust that tonight's teaching can help us a little bit more along those lines. We need to believe God's word about who we are. We need to believe God's word about who we are and then carry out what God wants us to do. Please take your Bibles and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What a wonderful time it is to be able to be together and hear all this Bible. And there's a lot of love. There's a buzz in the air. There's a lot of cool things going on around here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 18, it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and he's given to us what?" The ministry of reconciliation. Do we need revelation to witness?
No.
No. We have the responsibility. We have the privilege. We have the right. We have the authority. This is what God wants. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What a very cool thing that in our life we can help people. We can help people and help them get back to God by speaking the truth. And I know some of us, you know, are getting a little older. You know, I've told you before, I dye my hair gray so people will respect me. Don't laugh, it's the truth, you know. And, you know, retirement, you know. I mean, we might retire from our job, but we don't retire from the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah. Not at all. We don't need revelation. And what a cool thing in life to be passionate about. We can be passionate about basketball or about football or about some sports or TV shows or whatever. What a great thing to be passionate about to be able to help people with God's word. A man wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. And being here can help us unwrap ourselves so that we can really think about others and want to go further. So this whole thing about reconciling people to God, it's God's idea. It's not us. And guess what? He wants to help us. And you know, one way that he helps us is in verse 19. And to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and he hath committed unto us the what?
Word of reconciliation.
The what?
Word of reconciliation.
So we have the word of reconciliation. That's how we can help bring people back to God, by giving them God's word. They believe the word, they get born again, they get all these things, and what a wonderful thing. We can help people with God's word. Another thing that God has given us in the new birth is the nine manifestations, right? Nine manifestations. Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. What's next?
Prophecy.
Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. We can get guidance from God, right? He can tell us what to do, cool things to carry out his will. You know, believing, healing, and miracles. What really cool things that we have all wrapped up in the new birth. And none of this was our idea, it's God's idea. You know, some of us watch the news once in a while. Have you heard in the news about some tiger mauling somebody in their cage or whatever? Did you guys hear that? Raise your hand if you heard that. Okay, that's the end of my teaching. Thank you. You know, and the zookeeper, the guy in the zoo, he goes, you know what? We're not going to euthanize this tiger. You know why? Because this dude was in the cage of this tiger or in his domain, and this tiger just did what tigers do. He did what tigers do. He was going to eat this dude or maul him because guess what? He's a tiger. It's not the tiger's fault. That's just who he is. Hey, so who are we? We're not tigers, but you know what? We have guidance. We can get guidance from God. We can do miracles. We can do what believers do because that's our nature. We can do what believers do because that's our nature if we believe God's word. And we want to dare in our life to believe God. Get out of the nine dots and say, okay, well, I want to do this. And then we grow in God's word. Let's take a look at Matthew 22, please. Matthew 22. Bob touched on this a little bit. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And in verse 29, Matthew 22:29, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the what? Right. So it's important. We need to know the scriptures and the power of God, word and works, manifestations and witnessing and all that. So it's not about intellectual, just getting a lot of Bible and not believing it. We should be sharp on God's word, but also, you know, a lot of people know some Bible, but where's the power? We need to have power. We've got power, but we need to manifest it. The other thing here, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Some churches and whatever, they're operating power, but they don't know hardly any Bible, and some of the power that they operate, it ain't the power of God. So you have to have a check and balance in there. It's the word and power. It's not just operating whatever and thinking it's of God. But with that combination of word and works, of preaching and power, that's something that God has really given us so we can carry out the ministry of reconciliation. God wants to help us. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 1. Let's take a look at the life of Jesus Christ here for a minute. Mark chapter 1. And when we go through all these things tonight, you know, not only try to learn this stuff, but also, wow, I can do this. This is me. This is God's intention for me. Mark chapter 1, please. Mark chapter 1. So we're looking at tonight, witnessing and the operation of the manifestations. Mark chapter 1 and in verse 37. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. So he was supposed to preach, and he preached in the synagogues throughout all Galilee. And guess what else he did? He cast out devils. So not only did he preach, but he cast out devils. Word and works. Word and works. We can share the word of reconciliation, and we have 9 manifestations so we can operate power. The ministry of Jesus Christ was word and works. And guess what? He ain't here. He ain't here. That's poor English. But it does call attention to a certain thing. All right, let's take a look at Mark chapter 3, please. Mark chapter 3. I just heard a great teaching on example. This is like mind expanding. Mark chapter 3 and in verse 14. And he, Jesus Christ, ordained 12. He ordained 12 that they should be what?
With him.
With him. Why were they supposed to be with him? Let's take a look. That he might send them forth to what?
Preach.
And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out what?
Devils.
Didn't we just read in Mark chapter 1 that Jesus Christ preached and cast out devils?
Yeah.
Now, these dudes, these 12, they're supposed to be with him. And just like Joe taught, Jesus Christ was an example. And those guys were hanging out with him, you know, eating falafels or whatever they did, hanging out in life, and they heard his words. They could hug him, they could hear him, and they saw him operate power. And guess what? They learned from his example, from his words, and then they were going to be sent forth to do the same. Jesus Christ ain't here, but you know what? We are. And God wants to help us. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have the word of reconciliation, and we have 9 manifestations. You know, Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, but there were some last-minute instructions. Look at Mark chapter 16, please. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15. Last minute instructions. Before he goes away. Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. You know, he's leaving and he's telling these guys what to do, the 11 there. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every what?
Creature.
Now, if we take this literally, preach the gospel to every creature, that means squirrels and skunks and bears. Now, let's be honest here. Skunks need a lot of help and deliverance because they stink. Right? They need some healing. But is that what this means? Probably not. Probably it calls our attention to something. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, witnessing word. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Signs follow who? People with name tags? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They were with Jesus Christ and they saw him do it and they learned. We have 9 manifestations, and guess what? One of them is discerning of spirits. Another one is miracles. And when you cast out a devil, it's a miracle. In my name shall they cast out devils. They're going to speak with new tongues. How many of you speak in tongues? Just about everybody here. Hey, you know what? If you speak in tongues, you can cast out devils, can't you? And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They're going to lay hands on the sick, and they're going to what? This sounds like word and works. This sounds like preaching in power. This sounds like witnessing and operating the manifestations. And you know, Jesus Christ isn't here, but we are. And some of us are going to rise up in this room and really want to believe this. And you know, the operation of the manifestations depends on believing, doesn't it? So can we wrap our minds around this so we see, you know what? I can do this. You know, I can believe God and God can work inside of us. That's what this is about. So let's take a look now at some records in God's Word. Let's go to John chapter 1, please. So what we're going to do now is read some records. Read some records in God's Word. Not all the records in God's Word about people's witnessing and under-shepherding, but we're going to read some records. And some of these records we've heard before. Some of them we've heard this weekend. And there's so much in these records, we can teach them from different perspectives, you know, but now we're going to look at them in light of witnessing, speaking God's word, and the operation of the manifestations of the Spirit. And, you know, when we go through these once again, you know, we have 9 manifestations. John chapter 1, please. This is really exciting. How many of you in the room, be honest here, how many of in the room have been healed before by God's power? Raise your hand. Pretty cool. By the way, in case you didn't raise your hand, I didn't pay these people anything. Okay. How many of you know you've been a part of or seen a miracle? Raise your hand. These signs shall follow them that believe. That's what this is about. Speaking the word. Let's take a look at John 1. That's awesome. John 1. John 1. This is the early days of Jesus Christ's ministry. And at this point in time, Peter and Andrew had been with him. So in John chapter 1 and in verse 43, John 1, 43. And the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he finds Philip. And saith unto him, what?
Follow me.
So it looks like he did, because in verse 44, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Philip. 45, and Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. I guess he was telling people about Christ, wasn't he? He was witnessing. He was witnessing about Christ. Nathanael was. Verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing that comes out of Nazareth? Oops. And Philip said unto him, what?
Come and see.
Hey, come to fellowship, man. You check it out. Verse 47. Now watch this. Nathanael comes over, and Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no what? No guile, no bitterness, no bitterness. And Nathanael said unto him, where do you know me from? Where do you know me from? And Jesus said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when I was under the fig tree, I saw thee. In other words, I knew you from birth. You know, I saw you by revelation. I know about you from a long time ago. How did he know about this guy, all this stuff that he had no bitterness? Did he read a book about him? Did he look at his palm and read his lines? You sure about that? You know how he knew? It was revelation from God. Right down the pipe, revelation from God. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art who? Whoa, looks like there was some prophet in that revelation, wasn't there? There was a lot of prophet. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Jesus Christ knew this information. I saw you from a child. I know you have no bitterness. How did he know that information? Revelation. Now, can God tell us stuff today like that when we're witnessing to people? He sure can. God is that big. He wants to help us. Now, can he tell me? Yes. Can he tell you? Yes, that's we have manifestations. Isn't that in here? It sure is. So maybe the next time we witness to somebody, maybe we can reach up in Daddy's cookie jar, see if there's something I should say to him, or see if there's something so we can help folks with God's word. You guys know this. Most of you have been around a long time. How about John chapter 4? John 4. Was Jesus Christ out witnessing in John 4? No, he was just traveling. He was walking, and in John chapter 4 and verse 6, John 4, 6. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey. Have you ever walked and gotten a little tired? Being wearied in his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. Bottled water wasn't invented then, so he was at the well, and he wanted some water. You know, he's gone about his daily business, and that's what he wanted. So he starts to talk to this lady, and, you know, starts to talk to her about giving him something to drink. Nothing so radical about this. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest to drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee what? All right. Have you ever seen two unbelievers start a conversation with each other? Is that miraculous? No. Here, Jesus is a believer, and he's beginning to talk to this lady, and he's going to witness to her. He just asked her for a drink. So when we meet people, a really great habit to get into is talk to people. Learn to talk to people about anything, about basketball, about football, about television, talk about anything, and then develop the habit of bringing it around to the scripture. They're talking about give me to drink, and then Jesus Christ said, living water. Whoa, where's this conversation going from here? Living water. And the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? This is a deep well. How are you going to get this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Wow, he's putting the conversation around, isn't he? And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I'm tired of drawing water here. I want some Fiji water. I want some Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Whatever this living water is, this is what I want. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I'm sick of this stuff here. 16. And Jesus saith unto her, Go and call your husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he who you have right now, this boyfriend of yours, is not your husband, in that thou hast said truly. Where did he get this information from?
Revelation
down the pipe. Did he get this woman's attention? And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that you are a what? Where did you get this from? You're a prophet of God. How did he know? Revelation. And he's witnessing to her, isn't he? He's not out witnessing, but he's doing his thing. He wants some water. And he talks to this lady. He gets the conversation around to something spiritual. And then he says these things to this woman, and she's blown away. He witnessing to her, and he operates God's power. Is Jesus Christ here today? We can do the same. We don't have to make up revelation. That's not very good. Making up revelation is not cool. If you have any idea that you want to make up revelation, then when you go back home on Monday, read Jeremiah 23. That will speaks about making up revelation. That's not a cool thing. All right? But here, look at that. That can happen to us too. Maybe when we're witnessing to people, we can reach up into Daddy's cookie jar and see if he has any cookies in there. We can ask God if there's some kind of thing that we can say to this person. Let's take a look at the book of Acts, please. In the book of Acts, let's take a look at Acts chapter 3 and in verse 1. Acts 3, verse 1. God wants to help us. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us the word of reconciliation. He's given us nine manifestations. 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. So Jesus wasn't around anymore, but Peter and John could use his name, and so can we. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Do you think that was exciting? And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder, astonishment. They were filled with astonishment and amazement at that which had happened unto them. There was a dude, he was at the temple gate. He would have been known by a lot of people because people would have passed him by. every day, and all of a sudden, he was healed and walking around. It wasn't a miracle of modern medicine. It was the power of God in operation. Nine manifestations. You can do it too. You can do it too. I can do it too. It's not by our own ability, but it's by God's power. So there was a giant buzz in the air, just like there is at this camp. And there was this guy, and he was healed. Why can't we see that today more? Word and works. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. So this was a little while after that dude had got healed. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, "And as they spake unto the people and the priest and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, Peter and John, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead." They had ministered to this guy, and people all around knew who he was, and then they were preaching about the resurrection from the dead. "And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide." There was works. There was power. There was a dude that everybody knew, and he got healed. Lame from his mother's womb. Verse 13. So they got called on the carpet there for preaching about Jesus Christ. Now watch this. By the religious leaders. "Now, when they saw the religious leaders who didn't want people to know about Christ, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Even those guys knew that they had learned something. Now watch. 14. "And beholding the man that was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it." All right, these dudes, these Judean religious leaders, they didn't want Christianity to spread. But here was this guy, he was healed, and they couldn't see anything against it. So look, I'm going to stop the spread of Christianity. I don't want anybody to hear anymore about Christianity. But you know what? This guy over here, we can't deny that he was healed. How are we going to stop this? Because we don't want God's word to move. 15. "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves," had a little high-end counseling session, "saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwelt in Jerusalem, and we cannot," what?
"Deny it."
We cannot deny it. I want to stop the spread of Christianity. How are those guys going to do it? How are they going to stop people from hearing God's word? How's the adversary today want to stop the spread of the accuracy of the word? How are they going to do it? Verse 17. "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name." This is a teaching on witnessing and the operation of the manifestations. In this context here, this dude was healed. They couldn't say anything else. How are they going to stop it? They were going to put fear in people and tell them, "You cannot speak anymore." The same thing is true today. A trick that we get tempted with sometimes as well. "I don't have time to speak," or "I'm discouraged, and so I'm not going to speak," or "maybe I'm afraid." But you know, we got to open our mouth and let it out there, because we have the right to speak God's word with all boldness. It's the truth of the word of God, and there's great power. Witnessing and the power of God. Verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. And a lot of times that's the big decision. Are we going to listen to what people say, or are we going to be more concerned about what God says? Hey, if you're a fellowship coordinator and you want your fellowship to grow, prayer is a good thing, isn't it? You know what else is a great thing? Speaking God's word. Because if people speak God's word, other people are going to hear. Look at these people that were up here sharing their life. They heard God's word. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and what?
Heard.
Those dudes commanded them not to speak. But they said, we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Word and works. Witnessing and the manifestations. Preaching and power. Look at Acts 8, please. Acts 8. Acts chapter 8. And in verse 4. Jerry mentioned this in his teaching. Acts 8, 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the what?
Word.
Preaching the word. Preaching the word. You know, sometimes we get discouraged because somebody doesn't believe. Have you ever taught the word to somebody and somebody hasn't believed? How many of you has had that happen to you? We ought to obey God rather than men. You know, when we speak God's word, it's like planting seeds, isn't it? You know, Bob was talking about planting seeds. Here I have some Shady Mix lawn mix. Maybe I should give this to the camp if we parked on the grass a little. I have 1,000 seeds in my hand here. If I have 1,000 seeds and a few of them don't grow, am I going to go home and cry? And you know, if I plant them, there's a good chance that some of them are going to grow. And that's kind of cool. Now, suppose I'm a farmer, and I know some of you guys, you know, have farms in here. Suppose I plant some crops, you know, soybeans, not marijuana, you know. So suppose I plant some crops, and you know, I get a lousy crop next year, and I'm sitting home, you know what? I think I'm just going to binge watch Game of Thrones for a year, and I'm not going to plant anything for a year. Am I going to get any crops? But you know, I'm discouraged. I deserve not to plant anything because I'm discouraged. If I get discouraged, I might not plant anything. But if I don't plant anything, nothing's going to grow. So just get past the discouragement, because we want to plant some seeds. And you know, we can find maybe the next Apostle Paul. Maybe we'll get the next woman at the well. Maybe we'll do whatever. But you know what? It's about carrying out the ministry of reconciliation. Did everything go right with Paul? Did everything go right with Jesus? No. But they kept going, and because of that, we have what we have today. It's very cool. Oh my God, there's seeds all over my Bible. All right, let's finish this. Acts 8:4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. They gave heed because Philip preached the word, and then There were miracles. And then you know what? People saw the miracles, and then they listened even more to what he was saying. It was word and works. It was preaching in power. It was witnessing in the operation of the manifestations. And you know what? We can do the same. And you know, when we start seeing a lot of this more, is that a boring life?
No.
That's not a boring life at all. So there were miracles. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. If you've seen this in your life and see God's power like this, it is just tremendous. And you know, this is so much bigger than us because it's all the power of God in Christ in us. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. There was deliverance. There was deliverance. We've heard a lot of Bible here. Man, if you got something going on in your life, maybe you ought to get prayed for. Maybe you ought to get healed. Maybe you ought to get the deliverance that God has here, because you know what? This is a great night to do it. God is a delivering God, and he wants people delivered. Verse 8, and there was great what?
Joy.
There was great joy in the city. Why? People heard God's word, they believed God's word, and there was power in operation. There were dudes healed. They couldn't walk. There were spirits that got cast out of people. There was great deliverance and freedom. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Acts chapter 10 has been taught here. So in Acts chapter 10, like we talked about, God told Peter to go somewhere, didn't he? God told Peter to go with these dudes to Cornelius. And when Peter went down there, he found a whole lot of dudes there who were hungry for God's word. Peter walked by revelation. God told him where to go. And then these guys were hungry and they believed the word and they got healed. And that was the beginning of the outreach of God's word among the Gentiles. Peter walked with God, manifestations and operation. And then these dudes got born again. You know, most of us have taken Power for Abundant Living in here. And a long time ago, God led Dr. Werbel to go to the Haight-Ashbury in California. And he spoke the word there to some dudes in a different culture, very different than him. And God led him to go there, just like it was here where God led Peter to go down there with Cornelius' people. And a lot of people got turned on there, and a lot of the stuff we have today, and some of us came from that whole thing that happened a long time ago. Revelation, healing, power, deliverance. How big do we want to walk with God in our own life? So let's close here in Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4. What a cool life that God has given us. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We have 9 manifestations. We have the word of reconciliation. We have all these things. Jesus Christ is not here, but it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. How big do we want to see ourselves according to God's word? It's not about our brains. It's not about, you know, how many push-ups we could do or sit-ups. It's about God and Christ in us. And guess what? God wants to help us, doesn't he? God wants to help us. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 19, it says, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, you guys judge. When we speak God's word, do we hearken more unto people, or do we know that we have God's word in our life and the responsibility? For we cannot We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They heard the word of God, and they saw the power of God in operation. It was word and works. It was witnessing and the operation of the manifestations. And guess what? God wants to help us, and he wants us to walk for him. Father, thank you for your word. Thanks for the privilege we have to be here this weekend and to enjoy fellowshipping with you and each other. Thanks, Father, for giving us your word and giving us the 9 manifestations. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you very much.